But you know, that we would respond to his love, and that he would make known his love to us. And you know, it's out of that relationship that we do what we do, whether it's run the business or whatever else. I mean, we do what we do, but it's out of that relationship. Yeah. I don't do to have a relationship, I do out from the relationship. And here he says, I'm in Revelation 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or if anyone hear my voice." If any man hear my voice. I mean, this is a longing statement. He longs for us. It's not. I don't know if you ever just look at a verse and just let it, you know, meditate on it. It's not an old grandpa there because he loves his grandkids and he just tolerates them. This is not a God who just tolerates. You know what I'm saying. It's not a God who just tolerates because I'm supposed to. This is a God that longs, a great longing. I mean, this is holy passion. It's infinite longing. It's yearning. God desires us. I think if we understand it, if we just get a hint of that, it changes how we pray. It changes how we come to church. It changes how we worship. It changes how we praise. Holy passion. Relentless pursuit of us, no matter what. I always think that when I'm talking to them people, because, you know, people will look and they're like, oh, well, you know, it's like, well, y'all's church is messed up. You know, look out. Now, I mean, God, if he's going to come down and he just wants to come in. He would desire a relationship. I mean, that's the only thing on his agenda right here. I want to come in and dine with you. To have fellowship. He stands at the door and he knocks. And the love of God desires this dynamic interaction with him. And the word that we get here and we use throughout the scriptures is the word know. To know. To know him. To know him is eternal life. That, you know, that word of intimacy. And what it means here, and when he uses this word dine, it means to come in and stay long enough to get to know somebody past the outer shell. You know what I'm talking about? And you know, it's like when I used to go down there to Soul Star. I come down there, what, two or three times? We talk. I didn't know you. You didn't know me. But then after 5 years, we get to know each other. You're like, wow, Oakley's weird. But now you know what I'm talking about. So you get to, and that's what he wants. He wants to come in. And so you can know him and he can know you. And this, I mean, he already knows you, but it's getting by that shell. And it's long enough to where you don't. You know, it's like when you go someplace and somebody maybe come and visits and there's that uncomfortable stuff. You know what I mean? But I know right now your kids can come to your house and there's not a bit of uncomfortableness about it. It's just, you know what I mean? It's that kind of relationship that it's not formal. It's intimate. It's relaxing. It's, you want something out of the fridge, help yourself. You know, it's that kind. That's what he desires. And that's that journey into the heart, discovery of who he is. And this is the church that Jesus has just expressed severe disapproval of. He expressed severe disapproval of because they're not into this. They're not into that kind of relationship. And if there's any problem with the church today, I mean, we could say there's a lot of problems with the church today, but they all stem from this right here. They all come out of this no relationship stuff. Because you can have church, you can have the best doctrines in the whole world. You can have the Bible all figured out and have all the scholars and the Greek philosophy doctrines and doctorates all you want. is dead man's bones. It's nothing. It's relationship. And it all flows out of this relationship. Worship, praise, intimacy, everything flows out of this. And those problems come out of not knowing Him. And furthermore, I'll say this, not opening up our heart to Him. And we don't open up our heart to Him. Why? Because we don't believe that He justified us. We think if He really finds out who I am on the inside, it goes back to the lie, all the way in the garden. You stay over there, I'll stay over here, I'll keep my distance. So we come around, and I know I've been guilty of this. We get too busy learning about Him, knowing about Him, and not knowing Him. And there is a huge, huge, gaping Grand Canyon difference. And I know it because I have done it. I've done it. And believe you me, I know the way that I am, and I lean towards that. I'm easily gotten to read and study. I mean, really, I could read and study all day long versus taking a 30-minute walk and talking to Him. And I need to sometimes close the Bible and go have a walk. You understand what I mean? And generally, my 30-minute walk is way more than 100 hours of reading and studying. It's no comparison. One word that He drops in that I hear, boom, changes everything, brings great peace, fills my soul. But I know how I am. Some people are that way. And, you know, God made me. He made you. I mean, but here He is, this ascended Jesus. He stands here and knocks. And this is not for general admittance. Listen to what He said. If anyone hear my voice. All the other letters are written to the whole church. The church as a whole. Church at Ephesus, Philadelphia, Smyrna. All of those are written to the church at whole. But here He breaks it down on an individual level. If any man, anyone hear my voice. I mean, He starts out dealing with the church as a whole, like Ephesus and Philadelphia. But now He breaks it right down to individual. If anyone, that's one-on-one, this personal responsibility that if you will hear my voice calling and open up the door, I will come in and dine with you. Now, I do know this, and I mean just something for you to think about. If I come and knock on somebody's door, I'm desiring to come in. You know what I mean? He's standing there at the door because He's desiring to come in. Desiring admittance. He's desiring this fellowship. He's not a gate crasher. He's not kicking the door down. He doesn't have the big smasher to smash the door in. He's not a gate crasher. He waits for the person on the inside to open up. Why does He do that? I mean, I thought He grabbed you by the hair of the head and tore down the door to get to you. Because it's a two-way desire. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. He loved me. My response, I love Him. Something has happened. We've been awakened. The gospel has awakened there. Awakened something on the inside. And He desires us with this infinite, eternal passion. And now we begin to desire Him back. I mean, I know that He's in me and I'm in Him. He never leaves me or forsakes me. But sometimes, don't you just desire to hear a word from the Lord? There's this aching in your heart. Where are you? I want to hear. And there's this great desire. But I mean, He's standing at the door and knocking. And then, you know, the Song of Solomon just covers it so beautiful. It's like He's there knocking on the door. She won't get up. He goes away. Now, her heart is desiring, I've got to go find Him. Where is my beloved? Where is He at? Have you seen Him? Where is He at? And you know, that's all a poetry. It's all a picture. But that's how it works in us, isn't it? I mean, he's like, oh, I didn't hearken. It's not he's punishing us. But he knows how to create in us this desire to desire him back. And this whole relationship takes desire from both sides, or it's not relationship. You know what I mean? He desires me, I desire him. And he desires me, which makes me desire him. And then this is relationship. It don't work with gate crashers. We must respond to that. To his voice that calls us to fellowship. And it's for that very reason we were created. I mean, we forget that. The church is so far removed from why we were created. Now it's, I don't know how you got here or why you got here, but here's the 10 steps you got to do to get to heaven. We were created for fellowship. It's not good for man to be alone. I mean, our whole creation was made for fellowship. One with another and with him. That's why we're here. And it's because of that he died and was buried and rose again and ascended. I mean, it was to that end, and the Holy Spirit is with us today to bring this thing to pass, fellowship with God. Now, I got to break it down on a practical level here. Now, if somebody's knocking at your door wanting to have dinner with you, here's a stupid assumption. You're assuming they're human. Right? I mean, you don't go to the door and think a monkey's knocking on the door or wants to come in. I mean, I know you just think, well, that's stupid. The point I'm making here is if we're going to fellowship and sit down and talk with each other, we must share a common life. I cannot fellowship a monkey because we don't have the same life. I can't fellowship a dog. And you know, it amazes me that people, they'll think that dog's a person. That dog is a dog. And we don't share the same life. And it's really that way amongst believers and other non-believers, because I don't share the same life with an unbeliever. Darkness has no fellowship with light. But I am partakers of the divine life, that heavenly life, the very life that is Jesus himself. So we share the same life. So therefore, fellowship is possible. See, earlier it wasn't even possible. But now, fellowship is possible. I mean, if there's not the same life, fellowship can't take place. I mean, you might think a dog hears you, but he don't hear you. They respond to certain kinds of little sounds, but you know, I walk up to them dogs all the time, and it's the tone. I walk up to Tracy and them dogs sometimes, and when I'm talking to them dogs, I walk up to that old dog and say, "Oh, you stupid dog, you're the dumbest dog in the whole world. I'll never feed you again." And that dog will just laugh, and you know, it's like he's wanting to play around. Because he don't understand what I'm saying. He can't hear me. You understand what I'm saying? He has no faculties to understand what I'm saying. So if we're going to fellowship, we must be on the same wavelength, sharing that same life. You got to have, and I'm just on a practical level here, you got to have ears and eyes and a mouth and, you know, things in common. I guess what I'm trying to say here is that God, in order to ultimately converse with us, to carry this conversation, this fellowship to its highest level, God became flesh. He became a man. He dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. so that he speaks to us as one of us, as our brother, as our kinsman. We fellowship with him because he's given us his life. We are partakers. He's awakened within us these faculties that we can hear his voice and respond to him. And we're in the same family. Now listen to this. If we're in the same family, the family of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that means we share all the same possibilities. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how we've lived in this trapped prison of, I don't even have words, but I mean the things we've been taught, the fear that's been laid upon us, instead of the open expanse of creating history with God, all the possibilities, the possibility of the Holy Spirit. The one that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, but yet we can't heal a bug bite. You understand what I'm saying? All the possibilities are there. All those faculties are there. I mean, we are potential God talkers. We are potential God listeners to God. And I know you're thinking, what is he saying? I'm saying we're not close to God like pets that you can... A pet can crawl up on your lap, but you don't share the same life. You can pet the pet and you can feed the pet, but you can't have fellowship with the pet. You understand what I'm saying? You sit at the kitchen table with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have the faculties to hear God speak, just like Isaiah did. Here I am, Lord, send me. You have the faculties to speak to God. And you know, most of the times we think speaking to God, we got to use our mouth. But listen, you don't have to use your mouth. You can, but you don't have to. All of this, I mean, this is what happens in Christ. It's for that purpose we were saved. You were saved not to go to heaven. You were saved for fellowship. You were saved for relationship. That's the whole reason. Now that goes against everything we were ever taught. Now I'm telling you, this thing that I'm telling you, it's not possessed by the natural man. The natural man, he doesn't share that life. He doesn't have any rights in the family of God. Nor any desires in the family of God. I mean, that natural man, he don't know what's going on. Don't even care what's going on. He don't have a clue. There's no comprehension in the unconverted. But we have that, or I should say this, we have that potential anyway. The potential is that. Y'all know what potential is. I mean, he says if any... have ears to hear. If any hears my voice, if any hears. What's he talking about? Let him hear. That's born again. That's spirit-given ears. But the text here suggests that not everybody has that. When we come to know Christ, and we pass through his death and burial and his resurrection and baptism, we are no longer flesh people. See, I mean, what I just told you is a great controversy because people will say, well, you're in the flesh, you're in the spirit. And, you know, people go to church and hope the spirit falls on them or the anointing falls on them. What they're saying is, I'm flesh, and I hope I become spiritual. You're no longer a flesh person. You're raised to walk in a brand new life, and that life is called spirit. You just become part of spiritual. We're spirit people. What defines me is the presence of the Holy Spirit. My past doesn't define me. My future doesn't define me. The things I do or did don't define me. What defines me is the Holy Spirit. See, that wipes the slate clean on everybody and everything. I mean, that just, boom, born again. Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That used to be what defined you. Now the Holy Spirit defines you. You're a brand new person. Now we're made alive. We're alive to God in order that we might hear God speak. And then we might speak back to Him, this conversation, this relationship. That's what relationship is. I talk to you, you talk to me, and we get to know each other, and it goes from there. And I've learned this about prayer, and I used to think this all the time, prayer is a one-way street. Let's get our prayer chain, let's go to God, and let's tell it, like God didn't know. Oh, Jim, I'm glad you told me. I didn't know what was going on over there. Hey, well, let me do something about it. Most of my prayer now is, listen. Now it's a two-way street. He tells me. Sometimes I think, Lord, and I'm just being honest with you. You know, I'm kind of like Ananias sometimes, Lord. I know you know best, but are you sure? Yeah. Are you sure about that? It may sound a little crazy, but you know. But it's mostly Him talking. I mean, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Another, they won't follow. My sheep hear me. My sheep follow me. Now, naturally speaking, and I always wondered about that. I used to think, okay, it's magic dust. All right, you get sprinkled, and all of a sudden you know the voice of God. You know, it doesn't happen that way. It's, you learn it. You can take a bunch of sheep, naturally so, and I know this person who did it. He owned the sheep. He owned the farm. He bought all the food for the sheep. But he didn't take care of the sheep. He had a shepherd, if you will, that went and took care of the sheep. Now he bought everything. He owned the land, the grazed on, the fence, everything. But now he could go out there to the sheep with a bucket of food and holler, sheep, 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 sheep. And they would run and hide in the barn and go behind bushes. But now the lady that took care of the sheep could walk out there and go, sheep, 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 and they would just about knock her down. Now why is that? Because they got accustomed to her voice. Even though he bought all the food, this is how dumb the sheep was. The sheep didn't know that, you know, he's buying all the food, and he's supplying the barn, and he's doing all this other stuff. My sheep hear my voice. People don't come because they're scared of that voice. This happened all the way in the garden when the voice came. Who told you was naked? I run and hid. I got scared of the voice. Though he's got everything my soul desires, people aren't accustomed to the voice. And people look, what I'm saying to people, I'm talking church people, and they look at us like we're crazy. They think, oh, so you got a special line to God. Or I've heard people say this, well, why don't you pray to Denise? You got a special line to God. I've heard it both ways. You know, like you're a whole lot closer to Him than me. You know, like we're some pet. You know what I mean? Like you got a special, you know. People are not accustomed to that voice. They're afraid of that voice. And it's happened to me before, and I'm sure it's happened to you before. It's probably happened to you guys with some of the things I've said, because some of the things that we say comes at us and we're scared of it. Lord, what are you doing? I don't know about this new doctrine. I don't know. So we call it New Age. We call it charismatic, or, you know. Then sometimes the Lord has to come to you and says, don't be afraid to take it to you, this Jesus. Right? Easy. But if He hasn't done that and you hadn't been walking with Him long enough to recognize His voice, you run away. And He's really desired more fellowship. He's like, I got to bring you this way and I got to lead you here and bring you on. So, you know, but you recognize that voice. You know, oh, I'm scared. Oh, don't be afraid. Jesus has to show up to His very disciples. Fear not, fear not. Every time, fear not, fear. First words out of His mouth. A lot of times with me, the first words out of His mouth. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because He knows me. This is the tenderness of the Good Shepherd. Don't be afraid. We get terrified of that voice. Most church people are, and that's tragic because it cuts you out of that relationship that you were created for. Now the Bible talks some, and then we'll get into the technical stuff here. It speaks of a second person or a third person as distinct. And I'll say it this way: left brain, right brain. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Left brain is the reasoning, and right brain is the artistic, not autistic, artistic. But there's a third you. Now, once you're born again, there's a third you, if you will. And that is your right brain, and your left brain has come under the power of the Holy Spirit and produced new faculties that you never had before. Now you have ears to hear what you couldn't hear before. Now you have eyes to see what you couldn't see before. Now what happens in churches today is, and you guys know this, you were there. You come into the church. Y'all remember when you came into the church? You remember what liberty? Do you remember what joy when you were baptized? You wanted to tell the whole world. You wasn't embarrassed. You wanted everybody there to watch you be baptized. And about 6 weeks later, it's dead. Because the church kills it. They say, no, don't listen to that. Here's how we do it. You know, you're immediately brought under control. We can't have you doing that. Because at that moment, do you remember how many times the Lord would speak to you and you saw him in everything and you could just hear him and it was love and joy, and then, and 20 years later you're like, is that the Lord? You know what I mean? So the church people kills it, just like this Laodicean. So he stands there and he knocks. They call it emotionalism. You're too emotional. Don't do that. We don't do that here. Don't go that way. Let me get you some verses here. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I heard him preaching on the radio the other day that he's talking about heaven. Nobody knows what heaven's going to be like because of this verse. I said, my gosh, he ain't talking about heaven here. Let's read the whole thing. But God, and I wish they would just go to the next verse. Let me just read these two together. See what you make. But as it is written, I have not seen, ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Next verse. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. I wish people would just read the next verse. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, the spirit of fear, but the Spirit which is of God, the Spirit of love and power and of a sound mind, that we might know the things that are what? Earned? Keep all the rules and you can get it? The things which are freely given to us of God, freely given. Which things also we speak, not in words, which, you know, I wasn't taught this by man, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He thinks they're crazy, they're foolishness to him. He can't know them. In other words, he can't come into relationship. He has no right, Oligay, to this relationship. You see what I mean? Because that's what, neither can he know them. He can't have this relationship because they are only spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, what I tell you are now spiritual because you're part of him who is spiritual. Judgeth all things, yet he himself is judging no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What he's saying now, sum this up, it's not with natural eyes, it's not with natural ears. But you have a power of understanding that is beyond the comprehension of the natural man. That he has no clue. Alright. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, come into this relationship, what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The eyes of your heart, the eyes of your understanding. I'm just giving you some of these verses. Galatians 3:1. If you've ever thought of this one. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? These Galatians never saw Jesus, much less they wasn't at the crucifixion. But yet Paul says he's been set before your eyes, crucified among you. He wasn't talking about these natural eyes. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. We know that word, you know, we've talked about that word, lost, that perishing, blind, you know, just... We think, oh, well, I won't even get out of it. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Now, a minute ago, for our gospel is hid to them that's lost, and now he's telling us who's lost. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which, what? Believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Unto them. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light. Every time he's talking about light here, guys, you know he's talking about seeing. We even know that light enters into our eyeballs and reflects, and an image is created. Your brain interprets it, boom, that's how you see. So this is just a natural way, but this is what happens spiritually. Light. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And look at verse 18. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things, we're looking at things that the natural eye don't see. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, he's talking about natural eyes, they're eternal. So how do we look? We look with natural eyes. But we don't see eternal things with natural eyes. In Acts 26:18, what did he do? He sent Paul to do what? Open the eyes of the blind. Open their eyes. He wasn't talking about blind people. Of course, they did give sight to the blind. But he's talking about people who are spiritually blind. He sent them to open the eyes to this glorious gospel. The scripture's full of these. I'm just sharing some with you. John 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Same thing Paul was just talking about in 1 Corinthians. The world can't receive it because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. It says the world doesn't have the sight, but believers have the sight to see and know the Holy Spirit. Let me back up in John 8, 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw and was glad. You think Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God? He didn't see with his natural eyes. He's called the father of faith. Here's one in Hebrews 11. This is Moses, 11:26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, where he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. That's only King James could word that verse that way, right? In other words, he left Egypt, endured, pressed on, as seeing him who was unseen. Does that make sense? He endured, he pressed on, as seeing him who was unseen. He had faith. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for what? They shall see God. And when I'm talking about these faculties, it's not just hearing, it's not just seeing. It's our tongues too. We'll taste and see that the Lord is good. Tasted of the heavenly gift. Blessed are those who what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus says, my meat or my food is to what? Do the will of him that sent me. You see what I'm talking about. Matthew, I don't remember this verse. May not even be in the Bible. Matthew 13, verse 13. Oh yeah. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. I mean, the Bible is full of these verses. John 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. But they were listening to it. When Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians 4, listen to how he words this. I mean, remember, Jesus, my sheep will hear my voice. In Ephesians 4, Paul is not talking about how these he's not saying the leaders of the church discipled them. He says, but ye have not, I'm in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. That wasn't the way you learned him. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. They never met Jesus. Not in the flesh. Paul says you didn't learn Jesus that way. Paul said your discipleship, your coming out of the world, your being established in the truth of the gospel, you were taught by Christ. You heard him. You heard him teach you. And I don't know about you guys, but I have been, and this is just a testament to my arrogance, I have been in other churches listening to what I thought was the most stupidest preacher I've ever heard in my life. And I'm judging him. I'm just being honest with you. I'm judging him. I'm thinking, buddy, you need to sit down and shut up. And right through his lips, God spoke to me. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, I feel like I'm just going to be a worm and crawl out. Like, I didn't know, you know, and I'm thinking, boy, you're stupid. God, you learn to hear his voice. And I'm thinking, no way. But see, it's not the words that I'm giving you. You have to learn to hear Christ in what I'm telling you. That's right. You understand the difference? So, and Paul recognized that. So it's not the elders teaching we'll do this. You got to have that own personal relationship. But when you learn to recognize God, it doesn't matter who the speaker is. It didn't matter. Maybe the guy didn't know nothing. Didn't matter. God spoke right to me through that guy. God has spoken to me through little kids and the things that they say, and you feel like, oh my Lord. You learn to recognize that voice. Psalm 40. Give you a lot of verses. Psalm 40 and verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. My ears hast thou opened. I mean, the verse, look unto me all the ends of the earth. The whole scripture tells me to look unto God, to look unto Jesus. But remember, we don't look at things that the natural eye sees. We look at things that cannot be seen. We look at things eternal. So we got to ask, where are these faculties? And this is what we're talking about, how to hear the voice of God. Where are these faculties that we use to do this? I'm not using my natural eyes and natural ears. So we have an inside body. We have an inner man. An inner man that calls us on our cell phone.
It's a doorbell.
The doorbell.
Sorry.
That's all right. But this inner man, this new man inside of it, this man is in Christ. And he's got a new set of eyes and a new set of ears and new taste buds. And he's even got a stomach because he hungers and thirsts after righteousness. And I'll just tell you, naturally so. And you know what I'm talking about. Naturally so, I don't see as good. And I don't hear as good. So when you're talking to me, I've learned that I've got to tune my ear in to pay attention to what you're saying. You understand what I'm telling you? I've got to tune my ear in. Sometimes I'll tilt my head around to catch it better with this ear, because I hear better out of this ear than I do out of this ear. And sometimes I'll tune my eyes over to watch your lips so I can, you understand what I'm, that's naturally how I deal with foggy senses. You know, turning the radio down. I'm listening, okay, somebody's talking to me on the radio. I got to cut all the other noise out. All the background noise I've got to cut out. I really got to pay attention to this voice. So I adjust my body. It's the same here in the inner man. And we have here in the West, in our culture, that part of us is in a state of atrophy. You know what that means? That's when you haven't exercised it in so long, all the use of it is gone. It's just... Or, listen to, we'll get into this some more next week, maybe. Or we've given those faculties over to the flesh and to the devil. That doesn't make them bad eyes. It doesn't make them bad ears. We can tune our ears and tune our eyes to see the flesh and the devil. That doesn't mean our spirit eyes are bad. It means we're using them for the wrong thing. You understand what I'm saying? You can use your spirit ears to hear things in the spirit, but there are other voices that are speaking to you out of the spirit. If not, they would only be one voice to hear. But there's many voices that come at you. You've got to learn the difference. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If there wasn't these voices of the accuser that are always coming at you, you're no good, you're worthless, don't do that, you'll fail, that's not the voice of the shepherd. That's the voice of the accuser, but you've got to learn the difference, because the voice of the accuser will sometimes come at you as an angel of light. You understand what I'm saying? But when you know the difference, you ain't fooled. So So we got to learn to use these things. So it's not just, okay, let's cut our ears off and our tongues out and our eyes out. Pluck our eyes out. This is not what he's talking about. There's a faculty of this thing in all of us. And I'm going to tell you where it's located. It's located in two places inside of us. One, now what faculties? I'm talking about the faculties of hearing the voice of God. One place that it's located is in the imagination. In our imagination. And the other place is called intuition. But now, I'm not talking about just the imagination, because the ungodly have an imagination too. And they can imagine a vain thing. Right? They can imagine a vain thing. And they can imagine a Tower of Babel. And they can imagine crucifying the Lord of glory. So what I'm talking about, the inner man has an imagination. And this imagination in a born-again believer, this imagination has to be offered up to God. And I'm going to give you a verse right here, because we don't think about these things, but you know, we got to be practical. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Guys, that is everything of us. That is even, I go to Him with my imagination. God, you have to fill my imagination. Before it was full of darkness. It imagined a vain thing. It imagined this, it imagined that. But God will speak in your imagination. Because why, if this was not such a dangerous place for the devil, why would he build strongholds in your imagination? Isn't that what Paul said? Casting down every imagination, high thing that exalts us. Where is all that is? Because we imagine God a certain way. So we've built a stronghold. We don't want God. We never see him, we never met him, we never heard him, but we just know if he shows up, he's going to destroy me, he's going to kill me, kill my kids, do all this bad stuff, put me in hell. So we built walls. And where did we build them? We didn't build natural walls. I don't have a wall up around my house, so we're trying to, you know, I don't even have a fence. But we built it in our mind. That's where the devil tries to come in and work, because that's where God speaks to you, in your imagination. So we offer that up. And so when he says present your bodies, he's talking about all of the faculties that we have. Our eyes, our ears, our tongues, our stomach, our imagination. And he uses that imagination and fills that imagination. We offer our intuition. Let me just talk about imagination here for a minute. Imagination is the place within us of, I'm going to say it this way, of energies that are not present to the five senses. Like, okay, we are now in this room. My five senses report to me we're in this room. And you're in this room. And all of the lights, I can hear the ballast of the lights going off, and I can see you. My five senses report to me all of that. But I can close my eyes and be somewhere else with somebody else at the same time that I'm here. You understand what I'm saying? Just like today, Tony. You remember Tony that we prayed for? And just as a note, remember him. I mean, if the Lord brings him before you, he sent me a picture. His leukemia spiked way, way bad, and he was sitting there taking chemo. And so he sent me a picture and said, Jim, please pray. So I'm at work, but in my imagination, I'm laying hands on Tony. You understand what I'm saying? Imagination is where I'm present to those energies of of places and persons that are not present to my five senses, but I'm present to them. I mean, you ever have a conversation with somebody in your imagination? All the time. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. Boy, if I see them, I'm going to tell them. You know what I mean? And sometimes you're just, I mean, and listen, often in that imagination, in that being present to, it's in symbol, because we think in symbols, we think in pictures. I mean, I could mention a ball to you, and every one of you, we get some kind of picture of a ball in your mind. To me, it might be a football. To Dad, it might be a golf ball. To Tim, it might be a baseball or a volleyball, or, you know, it could be, but you get a picture. Boom! And, I mean, that's the way we think, in symbols and pictures. And then those symbols and pictures are translated by our brain, and they come out as words. So in this place within us where we can be present to what you can't see, and where we understand our whole volumes of truth in symbols and pictures, and we call that place imagination. I'm sure every one of you guys have imagined what Jesus looks like. I mean, we have. We all have. And sometimes I hate it because I get a movie picture in my head or something. You know, I watch The Passion of the Christ is all you think of. And every time somebody mentions Christ, you get that picture. You know what I mean? Or to me, I just, that's not the picture that comes to my mind. It's an old movie called Jesus of Nazareth, if y'all remember that movie. And I can't remember that guy who played it, but that's the picture that always comes to my mind when I think of Jesus. You know, like sad and all you bunch of, you know what I mean? That's the picture. So, and you know what that is? That's a stronghold. And God is ever tearing that stronghold down. And so intuition, and you ladies know what intuition is. That's when you know immediately. You know, reason says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Intuition says 6. How'd you get there? I don't know. It was just there, right out of the blue. It just came to me. Pow, there it was. In other words, there's no laboring process. You know what I mean? Just came to me. Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Right? Process. Because what we, and men are worse at it, because men try to reason everything. Women just get it. It might take us guys 6 weeks to come up with an answer. Y'all got 30 seconds. Boom. How'd you get it? Just came to me. Well, how do you know it's right? I don't know. Don't care. It just came to me. Do this. Well, you know, us guys, we're figuring it out. If I do this, if I go here, if I say this, we'll work it this way. God doesn't speak in our reason. You understand? So women have a lot easier time. Now I'm talking on the natural side. Not in the spiritual, there's no difference. But there's neither male nor female in the spiritual. We all have those same potential there. But so when I'm saying God speaks, it's going to be in the area of imagination, or it's going to be in the area. Imagination would be the seed. Every time you read in the scriptures about seeing, because we see in pictures and symbols, it's going to be in the realm of imagination. And hearing is going to be in what I've just said is intuition. And that's not a reasoning faculty. Reasoning have nothing to do with that. What Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 2, not by ear, not by eye, you can't reason this house, not entered into the natural man, you know. Intuition, it's not my brain, it just comes as a full-blown word. I don't know how it got there. It just showed up. Oh, you know, old guy, punch him in the head, he'll be better. How'd you get that word? I don't know, but come here, let me slug you. You know, I mean, how does Smith Wigglesworth know to hit that guy in the stomach? Intuition. He heard God say, hit the guy in the stomach. He just pow, hit him in the stomach and went on. Didn't even think of it. That's intuition. He heard God. He acted on it. Don't try hitting him in the stomach, ugly. God told me to punch you in the eye. That's another God that we have talked about on another lesson. But many people are offended by this, of what I'm telling you, about he speaks in imagination, he speaks in intuition. And they say, well, that happens to me all the time. But, and I know I was there too, we're waiting on some theatrical entrance of God with lightning and bells and thunders and, holy art thou, gentlemen, thus saith the Lord, go here and do thou this. And, you know, like God speaks in King James English. But you know, when God became flesh and dwelt among us, he didn't have no bells and whistles. He shows up as a little baby in a manger. And when he speaks in my heart, it's not bells and whistles. It's a little still small voice. And if I don't focus my eyes and my ears, I miss it. But that's where he comes to me. And this offends people because the people will say, well, I get that all the time. I'm talking church people. I mean, you ever wonder, you ever been driving down the road? Somebody you haven't seen or thought about 6 years? Boom, it's right there. That's intuition. Now why? And see, and here's what we'll do with that. We'll say, well, that's just me. I mean, we won't say God has brought this person before your face so that you can pray for him because God says he needs prayer. Through a people, and he says, ask of me and I'll give you, and he puts the person in your brain you haven't thought about in 6 years. Not one shred of thought, all of a sudden, boom, can't get him out of your mind, because God has said, I want you to pray for him. You. I want you to pray for him. Oh, that's just me. That's just me. Well, I mean, we say that couldn't be God. You know, that's just me. Well, really, saying that's just me is a put down on salvation. And hear what I'm telling you. To say that's just me is a put down on salvation. Just me, guess what? Is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Just me is united to Him who is life, is united to God Almighty, sitting in the Trinity. And where else would God speak except in just me anyway? But you see, the church world doesn't know, and they think it's just me. Do you hear what I'm saying? How many times people say, I don't know if it's God or if it's just me. My God, you are the temple. Where else is he going to speak except in just you? But they don't know it how to hear the voice of the God. And I'm going to tell you this, and then we'll quit. It's not that all of a sudden, you can take what I've told you and go do it, and you'll be right 100% of the time. You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. You're going to go down a road. But then in that whole time, God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But you'll be learning about this relationship, and you'll be learning the just me and the nonsense. You'll be learning the difference. There have been times I thought it was God. Go with it. You might fall flat on your face. Oh, well, you learn from it. You get up, he gets you back up, he lifts you up, and you move on. That's the way it works out. It's not this great big thing. I mean, he just speaks, and you know, it's just so awesome. It's just so awesome, you know, to go before the Lord and pray this prayer. Lord, what do you want me to pray for? Be quiet. You know, I don't need to pray for Oakley or Tim or anybody else. God knows. I don't need, well, you know, they got this going on a lot. God knows. He's with you. What I need to do is I say, Lord, I'm presenting to you my imagination. I'm presenting to you my intuition. I'm presenting to you everything that I am. Now fill me so that I can pray it back. You understand what I'm saying? This is the beginning of prayer. How to hear the voice of God. It's how it all begins. Anyway.